Shits and Shoots with Joe and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Certainly not you, Sabby. You'd never do a dumb thing.
Oh, look, I was so calm, controlled and...
Collected.
Did need collecting a few times, I have to say. But, you know, I was very calm, cool and collected when I saw half my avocado get ripped in half on Sunday.
Oh, that was some pretty wild weather. In fact, Mark in Peppermint Grove Beach wants advice, remedies for salt burn on all of his veggies from those storms.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
A lot of stuff that had soft leaf just literally shredded. Hose it down.
Okay, Mark.
Now, it's going to take a little while for new leaves to come back. Just hose it down. But for people that have got trees that got really badly damaged, I mean, trees were lifted up out of the ground.
We had a number on our street. I had a little baby eucalypt that I planted from the Kings Park native plant sale.
Yeah.
Half of it came off.
Oh.
It's devastating.
Well, now it'll have sort of more of a dense crown, Joe.
It was just doing some nice pruning for me. Is that what you're saying? The wind was pruning? Hey, Sabby.
Yes.
We've got a good thing to get into with Miriam in just a tick, but we were talking about pickling.
Mm.
Did you pickle back in your day?
I certainly did. Used to pickle and preserve because my mum was a great pickler and preserver. But now... I don't know. The only thing I bother pickling now is my chilies.
Oh, still pickle the chicken. Still pickle the chilies. God, that's hard to say.
My dad used to make roll mops all the time.
Oh, my dad used to eat them. They're revolting. Oh, they stink.
Oh, they're delicious.
Not first thing in the morning.
Oh, no, I quite like them. But he always did. Mum did all the other types of pickles, but dad, because he's... father was German baker and he used to make roll mops all the time and we used to have them.
For breakfast.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to try them as an adult because it's just a memory as a kid. Like he'd get them out early in the morning and have a roll mop and I was like, ooh, but maybe I'd quite like it. Elise in Busso, thank you.
Yes.
Not 100% sure but thinks the Anchor Foods factory was on Carrington Street, Palmyra.
It was.
Pickling gherkins as late as the 80s.
Yes.
Best spiced gherkins. You could buy these huge containers of them. And Elise says she worked briefly at the Albion Hotel in Cot when she was at uni and they always had a stock of them in the kitchen.
Yeah, I remember the Anchor Foods factory.
Gherkins good for when you're pickled.
Yep. I wonder how they go on a breathalyzer.
I have no idea. Of course your mind went there. Len in Sorrento is 70. Hi, Len. And he clearly remembers the Cotties factory on Scarborough Beach Road in Osborne Park.
Oh.
And he says some days you could smell... what jam was being made, some days strawberry, some days apricot, but then some days red cordial. Yuck. Them was the good old days. Good on you, Len. Now, Derry loves roll mops too. There you go.
There you go. Lots of people who love roll mops, especially if they're homemade.
Home pickled. I'm going to give them a go before next week. Now, let's get on to gardening. That's what you're here for. Miriam, Gorilla Gardener, how are you?
I'm well, Joey. Hey, I thought I'd just add in a little roll mop thing. If you want to try them and not be too scared, I had some from IKEA in the little food shop and they're nice.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Anyway.
I love them. And now, I love sardines. I'll eat sardines for breakfast.
Yeah, and they're really good for you, Joey. All those brain juices that you like to get going.
That's it. That is it. Now, tell us about this guerrilla gardening you've been doing.
Well, I'm about to do some more guerrilla gardening, but it sounds like it might not be a good idea. I'm a very novice Facebook user. I'm not really on social media. And for some reason, because I'm interested in all sorts of weird things, my algorithm pops up strange stuff. And over the long weekend, I saw this post, some fellow who is totally not near where I live. I'm near the city and this guy's up in northern suburbs somewhere.
Yeah.
We're standing next to this giant mature grass tree beautiful, magnificent specimen. Yeah. And his post was, oh, please help. Who wants it? Otherwise, I'm going to cut it up and put it in the green waste.
Right.
And then it sparked off a litany of all sorts of messages. All these people were, you know.
I think they want to save it.
Yeah, I saw a picture of it, Miriam, and it is an absolute monster of a thing. Now, it is very old. It's a double trunker and it truncates close to the ground. In order to have a 50% chance of that beautiful Xantharia belga surviving transplant, you would need a crane and you would also need a mini excavator. So it will weigh a ton. Even if you do that and you get the soil that's around the base, it's still only got a 50% chance of survival.
And your main concern is because of that truncation being so
low. Yeah, so where the double trunker comes, there's only about 20 centimetres of the actual trunk. And because they are so heavy, my fear would be that it's going to split in half.
Okay.
But you would definitely have to get a small crane to lift it up.
Okay, crane, excavator, and only 50% mm-hmm. possible chance, Miriam.
Yep.
It depends how passionate you are about it.
Oh, the poor thing. But it's just funny when you get these comments. I was just reading through them and having a laugh and wondering if people were really having a lend or if they meant these comments.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously in the way for whatever they're doing. And if anyone wants to have a crack at it, I mean, there would be people with earthwork machines that would look at that and go, I'll give it a crack.
Miriam, work your magic, see if you can save it. But I guess now you've heard from the expert what's required, machinery, a lot of machinery and still not necessarily going to make it.
No.
Let's have a chat to Cheryl, who is in Manjimup. How can we help, Cheryl?
Hi, ladies. I've got a rhododendron that I want to transplant because I've had it in for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And it hasn't grown. It hasn't died.
Right.
It's got a bit sunburned.
Okay. All right.
I want to put it in an area where it gets morning sun and afternoon shade.
Well, you certainly can. So there's no problem there, Cheryl. You probably need to give it a bit of a trim before you dig it up and transplant it.
It's not very big.
How big
is
it?
It's only about 2 foot at the most.
Oh, no. You won't.
It hasn't grown anything. It hasn't done anything for 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely needs moving. So you probably won't have to prune it at all. So, so just dig it up and transplant it.
Okay. Shall I do it now?
Yes.
Is now the best time?
Yes. It's perfect time now.
Okay.
Yep.
It's going to go near the Chooks. In the resort area.
The Chook Taj Mahal.
So that should be a nice place.
The rhodiid love it.
Happy planting. Happy planting, Cheryl. Now, just back to pickling. Sabi, have you seen all these very clever people?
Jars of pickles.
Home pickles for attention. They are spectacular. Wow. Jalapenos, onion,
zucchini,
cucumber, zucchini.
Eggplant.
And some dill. Yum. Oh. Yum, yum, yum. And Andrew's old batch and new batch. He just chopped the last of his cucumbers. And he saw a recipe for pickled strawberries the other day.
Oh.
Pickled strawberries. What would you do with them? I've had strawberries with pepper on them.
I've had strawberries with chocolate attached to them.
Pickled strawberries.
That's nice.
And Pauline in Maylands, also a massive fan of the roll mop.
Yep.
Fabulous on bread with butter. Could eat a whole jar in a fell swoop.
Yep.
Dutch background.
There you go.
Okay, Sabi, let's get back to it. Beverly is in Balcatta. Hello, Beverly.
Hello. Text me, Sabrina, can see my two photos. My gelatin wax has is not happy.
No.
Do I cut that? Can I cut that chunk off?
Yeah.
Or do I have to?
Yeah. Cut that chunk off because it's not going to recover.
No. But the rest is still okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So cut that chunk off, leave the rest, and then prune that back by 50% when it finishes flowering.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Beverly.
Let's head to Bunbury. Good afternoon, Kay. Oh, hang on. Sorry, Kay. I think you've got an issue with your trumpetry.
Yes, I do. Sabrina, it got windburnt, or one, there's about four windburnt over the weekend, the leaves.
Yeah.
Now, do I prune them down to the better leaves, or
I would just pull the old leaves off? I would prune it down. Now, when you say the trumpet tree, is that the Brugmansia or the Angel's Trumpet?
No,
okay, so I have two of them, and they got completely... not a single leaf left after the weekend.
Yeah.
So the good thing is, Kay, it's a really good time of year to prune them now. So don't be concerned that there is not a single leaf left on it or they're all burnt. So I would actually prune it now.
Perfect.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, my pleasure. Okay.
Happy pruning, Kay. Now, Bobby is in Geraldton and... what's happened to your roses, Bobby?
Hello. How are we, girls?
Very well. We all survived the weekend.
Oh, it's a beautiful day in Jera, I tell you.
Ah, did you get much action up there, Bobby?
No, I don't think.
No.
Anyway.
No trampolines that decided they'd like someone else's backyard?
No, thanks. No.
What can we do for you?
A rose.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Fragrant Plum.
Oh, how beautiful. Is it plum-coloured?
Yes.
Oh, gorgeous.
And now, first-time caller.
Oh, we'll be gentle on you, Bobby.
No, you can be rough as your own.
So what's happened to the rose, Bobby?
Move on.
Yeah?
It's about 20 years old. And it's put out shoots at the bottom, right at the bottom.
Ah.
It's not water shoots.
No.
And it's come right up. It said roses just like the parent plant, leaves, thorns, the whole bit. So if I wait till next month, I should be able to get them up and put them in a pot. Because I think they're rooted.
Okay, so you think it's not the root stock that's coming up, but the actual rose itself. So maybe it was grown from a cutting and isn't even on a root stock. And if that's the case, Bobby, then those shoots that are coming up will be identical to the rose that you have.
It is.
Okay, identical. Well, you have now got plants for free.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'll wait till next month.
Yep. I was going to say wait until the end of June, July, and then you can sever those off with a knife or a reciprocating saw. Don't use an axe, and you don't need a chainsaw, Bobby. Just thought I'd add that as well. And then pot them up, and then you'll have free roses.
Oh, Bobby, lucky thing.
Ooh.
Free roses. Now, Laurie would like to know, Sabrina, is it okay to pot up a Hoya, is it Carnosa?
Yeah.
With orchid mix?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Hoyas are quite interesting in that they like a very free draining mix. But what I would do, Laurie, is I do 50-50. I do 50% orchid mix and 50% potting mix. If you don't have any potting mix and you have to do it now, then putting it in straight orchid mix is fine.
But there you go.
The best practice would be adding a little bit of potting mix in with the orchid mix.
Let's head to Golden Bay. Good afternoon, Lee.
Hi, Joe and Sabrina. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, Lee.
Hey, I've got a avocado tree.
Yeah.
It's huge, but it grew from a seed.
Yeah.
And it's about 4 years old and... last year it looked like it was going to get avocados, but then they all disappeared. They're like little peas.
Ah.
So, coming from a seed of another avocado, would they give me avocados or would they just suck it and see sort of thing?
It's very much a suck it and see thing. Now, Avocados that grow from seed can take up to 15 years to fruit.
How patient are you, Lee?
Or I sounds young. You'll be fine, Lee. At my age, I wouldn't take the risk. But now, sometimes you get the most fantastic fruit and it'll fruit in year five. Other times you have to wait for 15 years. But if you think that you need a cross-pollinator and it's grown from seed, the best avocado to put in is Reed, R-E-E-D, the Reed avocado. She'll just...
She'll get him going.
She'll just pop. She'll be a partner to anyone.
That sounds good.
But the other thing is you may not have had complete pollination. And it's a bit hard to know with seed ones, but if you definitely want fruit, I would get a Reed avocado. They use it as a rootstock for all the grafted avocado because it's really hardy and tough, and you get fruit in the second year.
And good on you, Lee, from growing it from seed. I mean, yeah, lots of people put them on the windowsill and done that, but then to actually, continue through, well done. Sabrina, yes. Daphne is in Bankshire Grove. Yep. Is it a hydrangea that is causing issues, Daphne?
Being eaten.
It's not. For the first time, I've tried to grow peewee hydrangeas.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just wondering just how suitable they are for us.
Well, I have to tell you, Daphne, that I have killed probably about 50 hydrangeas over the last 20, 30 years, probably more than 50, actually.
Are you filled with confidence, Daphne? Is this filling you with confidence?
Terribly.
Okay, so my advice to you is, and I learnt this after 25 years, is don't even attempt to put them in the ground if you're in coastal soils, but in a pot, you will have great success.
Well, is it the time of the year because the peewee hydrangeas are getting a little bit of a bronze to their leaves, but the normal ones are gung-ho at the moment.
Yeah, but that's normal. So that's normal because there's so many – because hydrangeas have been hybridized and cultivated so much. So there's there's a couple of strains of hydrangeas that will always get those purplish leaves in the winter.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be worried about that.
Okay. I had them undercover in the summertime.
Yes.
And I was thinking they weren't getting enough sun because the leaves are so green. So I've bought them out for winter. Is that okay?
Yep, absolutely. Good. Absolutely. Brilliant. And they will probably go dormant next month.
There you go. Happy.
Love hydrate.
They are beautiful. Beautiful. Now, Linny is in Stoneville and something is eating her plant. Hello, Linley.
Hello, Linley.
Hello, girls. How are you?
Yeah, good. You've got a paulownia tree.
I have. I dug it up out the garden because I want to plant it elsewhere.
Yeah.
But something keeps eating it.
There are so many little critters around, I've noticed, in the gardens lately. So there are still beetles and they burrow in the soil and they're tiny and you can't see them and they'll come up and have a chow down at night. There's still caterpillars.
No, there's no caterpillars.
Okay, so it's either going to be little ground-dwelling beetles or it can be the little tiny crickets.
Oh, because edges of the leaves get burnt and they go crispy brown.
That can also be leaf miners. And you won't see them because they're inside the leaf. And there's not much you can do because they're inside the leaf, apart from go squishy, squishy with your fingers.
Well, I have done that and there's nothing.
Nothing in there.
No.
Okay, so the other thing that you can do is you can get diatomaceous earth.
Yes.
Now you get diatomaceous earth. Some of the nurseries have it. Mm-hmm. But also pet stores because they used to use it on chickens for the stickfast fleas.
Yes.
Now, if it is the little ground-dwelling beetles, if you sprinkle that on the base of the underneath the leaves of the plant,
yep,
then it gets under their exoskeleton, and then you'll see them dead. Or you can spray with pyrethrum.
Pyrethrum. I think I've got some of that.
Yep. Yep.
And when is a good time to prune an avocado tree in Stainville? We do get frosts.
I'd wait until spring then.
Spring? Okay.
Yep. Yep.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Okay.
See you. Let's head to Kawaramup. And I think Judy's got a question for you about trees. Hi, Judy.
Hi, how are you going? Hope you're having a lovely day.
Aww.
We didn't get quite blown away, but
that's good.
We're still standing, and so are all our trees. So
the cows are still in the paddock.
Yeah, the cows are still in the paddock. Yeah,
and what about the cow on the stick?
Oh, I think she's still there.
Oh, there we go.
Yes. Now, we've built a house on top of what some people refer to as a moat. So we've built quite high up retaining walls.
Yeah.
And we've got about 4 metres between the house and the retaining wall edge.
Yep.
And I'm told I'm not allowed to have anything with invasive roots because it'll push my wall over.
Okay.
So I want to plant a couple of nice deciduous trees to give me some shade on the west side.
Yeah.
So it's the soul of passive house. So, you know, I just want to have something a bit gentle.
Yeah.
So I need some ideas.
Have you heard of a tree called the Persian witch hazel?
No. Oh. I hope my husband's writing all those down. He's having a cup of tea while he's having a brush.
That's stunning. Do you know what?
A stunning tree.
I saw one of these patch. I shouldn't give it away. Anyway, oh my goodness, they're stunning.
Absolutely stunning.
Just do that.
Give it away. North or south?
so you won't have a problem with the root system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why more people don't plant it.
Oh, my gosh, that is stunning.
It is the most beautiful tree and very few people have it. Now, there is a tree nursery in Bailing Up.
Yes.
That
I've
does
been
it.
There.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I'd go and have a look at that.
Persian witch hazel.
And then the other thing I think is a really beautiful tree is the Circus Forest Pansy. If you want something with, you know, a burgundy coloured leaf and hot lolly pink flowers.
Yes, yeah, I think I've seen that one. I actually think there was one just out in the paddock that might have got run over by the tractor.
Oh, dear. Oh,
I know. Wasn't on my patch, but I think it went. Yeah.
We'll have to have another category now.
Accidentally get run over by the tractor.
We've got a category for men who prune too much. I think we need another one for men who drive tractors recklessly.
Yeah, there's a certain pomegranate that I've had to save several times. Okay, I saved it. Okay, well, I'll look for those two.
Yeah, they'd be my pick. Yeah.
Yep. And how tall would they grow?
So the Persian witch hazel here will only get to about 6 metres.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
6-7 metres. And the forest pansy will get about the same, actually.
Yeah.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Happy planting, Judy. Happy planting. 12 to 3, let's head to Darlington. Reggie, what is happening?
I've just listened to you talking about a Persian witch hazel tree getting to 6 metres.
Yeah.
Mine's been knee height for about 5 to 6 years, and I would like a bit more activity from it.
But you're a step ahead, Reggie, because you've actually planted one, so well done you.
Oh, dear. Okay, so now obviously it's hit a bit of clay. Because Darlington, some areas are rock and clay and others are just...
Yes, I have the lot here.
You've got the
real mix, yeah.
Yep. Okay, so what you can do is you can make like a digger trench around the tree, and then I'm going to get you to fill that trench with sheep poo and compost.
Oh, okay.
So the root system's going to go towards that, and that will give it, well, obviously it's too late to do it at the moment. You have to do this in spring because it's about to go into dormancy. If you do that in spring and then give it some feed, and then I would give it a tonic that's got humic acid and seaweed, kelp and fish in it, and dose it once a fortnight in a watering can, and I'll give you a hint, it'll make it go, go fast.
Thank you.
I think it will start taking off.
It sounds a bit easier than digging it up and putting it somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. Definitely easier than that.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Reggie.
Now, I'm just going to quickly go to Jay's question because she wants some advice with her Florida jardinia, and it's got huge sentimental value. And oh my goodness, the question is, I just had it, her 40-year-old, very healthy and vigorous Florida gardenia has sprung a flower. It lives in the ground in Claremont next to its equally vigorous mates on the south side of the house. Should she be worried about this aberrant winter behaviour or just be impressed and delighted?
I think you need to be impressed and delighted, Jay. So what's happening is we've had an extension of warm weather. So before we had the storm coming through, everything thought that it was still in spring or summer was still there. So a lot of stuff has come back into flower. So just delight in it and you don't need to worry about
it. Okay, because she's saying it's got huge sentimental value. They brought it back to Perth from Sydney with quarantine certificates in 1990. If it's about to die, she needs to know if she can get grafts off it.
No.
Okay. You're all safe. You're all safe, Jeanette.
Yeah.
Okay, let's head to Two Rocks. Good afternoon, Joanne.
Hi, ladies. How are we all?
Very well, Joanne.
That's good. I have a question. I've got three ginormous, very old tuart trees. They're over 50 years old.
Yeah.
And one of them has started sending out shoots from very low in the main trunk. And I don't know if there's cause for concern or should I cut them off or what should I do?
Very unusual for tuarts to do that. I would definitely be cutting them off.
I've started doing it and then I thought, well, I should talk to you first.
Yeah. No, I you've done the right thing, Joanne. No, I would be cutting those shoots off.
Okay.
I don't know why it's doing it.
No. And it was behind another bush and during the storm that thing got pushed over and then I was looking behind it and all of a sudden I've noticed these like suckers almost coming off down close to the, not at the ground level, but probably about half a metre up.
Yeah.
And further. And I've never seen it do that before.
No, that's that would be a cause for concern. So I'd be taking those off.
Okay.
Yep.
You need to chop, chop, chop. Herb is in Hovia. And Herb, what you want some advice with your snow peas, I think. Hi, Herb.
Yeah, well, I'm from Hovia, but I'm in Byford today, and I've got a wicking bed there with peas that look a bit sad. They look like they're getting mildew issues. Should I just simply drop the water in the reservoir of the wicking bed and see what happens, or what else would I need to do?
It's going to be hard for peas after the weekend that we've had because the wind actually really has an effect on the leaf tissue, which means fungal diseases will get in there much easier. If you're doing peas, I would definitely drop the level of the water, and I would get the spray that's got the bicarbonate of soda in it and give your peas a spray with that to help protect it from powdery mildew. So do both of those.
And hopefully resurrect them.
Yeah.
There we go. Good on you, Herb. I'm going to squeeze in one more call. Kelly's in Cottesloe. I think it's about mangoes. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Hi, girls. And Sabrina, I call you my garden goddess.
Aw, Kelly, thank you.
I just don't know how to get rid of the, it's the second year I've really noticed it. Is it thripe?
Thrips. No.
I think that's what it is. It's got a lighter green vein kind of coming through.
What plant are we talking about?
It's a bit a mango tree.
And so you're talking about the colour of the leaf.
Yeah, and it starts to crinkle.
Ah, I see. Okay. So I haven't seen thrips going to mango trees, but I've seen lots of other sap suckers that do.
I inspected it. Like, I've looked for a bug or something, and
You can't see anything. Now, it may not necessarily be a bug. It could actually be a nutrient deficiency or something like a virus or a fungal disease.
So how does Kelly investigate that further?
So, Kelly, I want you to take a picture of the leaf, get the My Pest Guide Reporter app, take a picture of the leaf, get a close-up, take a picture of the tree. If you send it to My Pest Guide Reporter, they will get back to you and they will be able to diagnose what it is, because it's a bit hard for me not seeing
it.
Whether it may not be a pest. It could be, you know, it could be a virus or a fungal disease.
And it's also a good resource, Kelly, to have, you know, at other times. So, good luck with that. Sabby, Andrew's been back in touch about the pickled strawberries. Apparently great with cocktails, cheese boards, or on sourdough with goat's cheese.
Oh,
there you go.
It's a winner.
It's a winner. Thank you very much.
I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.